It's the Nahum Segal Network, and welcome to this edition of Our Community with the United Task Force. Each week during this series, we get an opportunity to examine the work of different organizations within our community, especially vis-a-vis Holocaust survivors and that very special generation within our community. And this week, we have the opportunity to speak with Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Klein. Rabbi Klein is Director of Publications and Communications at Toro Mesora, an organization that has been around for many decades and no doubt has made quite an impact in the field of Jewish education. He also directs Zachar Yamos Olam, which is even more acute for our purposes in this conversation. Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Klein, welcome to the Nahum Segal Network.
Thank you, Reb Nachum. A pleasure to be here.
Same here. I thank you for that. It's interesting. So many of the conversations that we've had with the representatives of organizations have dealt with specific services that they have for those of the Holocaust survivor generation. In this case, I feel having you here, not only would we be able to discuss those if Toro Mesora has any special programs for that generation, but I think having you here gives us the assurance that we could pass on to survivors that the history, that the lessons of the Shoah, of the Holocaust, are in fact prominent in the field of Jewish education in this country. Would that be safe to say?
Absolutely safe. And really, maybe it's unfortunate, maybe not, but we don't really have, per se, services that deal with survivors,
right,
dealing with their needs. Toro Mesora being an educational organ,
right,
so to speak, it means that our business is to make sure that we have Holocaust education. And I think I'm a child of survivors. My parents, Aleihem HaShalom, would have been very happy to know that in fact, I did get involved still b'chayehem when they were still alive. They'd be happy to know that we're pushing the messages forward, or we're making sure that the learning is being done. So that's in terms of what we're doing for the survivors. But of course, the impetus of what we're doing has to do with talmidim, has to do with primarily really with training teachers, making sure that they are capable and informed and knowledgeable and understanding. Really that which we have to impart about the Holocaust.
You know, it's interesting. We've got to take a step back. The teacher angle is so vital, and I want to get into that. But a step back for a moment. So many from the Holocaust survivor generation, this is no secret, many of them might have, immediately after the war, have said, there's no need, or let's not bring up this topic or address it in a school setting. It's very possible some of them would not have been comfortable with the entire topic being discussed with that first generation who were here in the U.S. And I think as time went on, and I assume can attest to this just based on your own family experience, as time went on, they all came to the obvious conclusion that the best thing would be is if this became a prominent subject in our schools.
That's absolutely true. But it also really boils down to an individual personality. There are people,
right,
were people, mostly unfortunately were, people who were very capable of talking about it, whether it was for their family, or I had one nechutin of mine. His father was just snifter a few months ago in Detroit, made a habit of going to as many schools as possible, not even necessarily Jewish schools, and talking about his experiences and talking about thoughts related to the Holocaust. Alternatively, there were those, such as my shver, Olav HaShalom, who was totally incapable of speaking about it. He would have to have a few l'chaims on a Shabbos maybe to open up a drop. But other than that, it was really a taboo.
And it was generally like that till the end of his life?
Yep, absolutely, yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, he's the kind of person, he moved to Eretz. My wife is Israeli, so my wife's parents, after the Milchama, after the Holocaust, they moved to Eretz Yisrael. And before he knew it, he was thrown into Tzahal, and he had to fight for the War of Independence and work hard just to survive. They worked on a construction site, then they opened up a fruit store. I'm just saying, thrown into life, and the idea behind that was, leave me alone with what happened, my dehave have, as the Gemara says, and let's just move forward with life. And that was his credo. My Schwieger, on the other hand, was a lot more talkative, a lot more open. Not that she didn't work, she also did, but that was just her nature. That's what I'm saying. It really boils down to the individual nature of the human being.
Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Klein is with us, Director of Publications and Communications at Toro Mesora and the Zachar Yamos Olam program. Now, what do you think the transition was like? And I don't know what year you started at Toro Mesora, but what do you think that transition was like? Do you think there was a tremendous amount of pushback when Jewish leadership, especially under the Toro Mesora banner, and it's obviously a Torah banner, when they decided that this curriculum must be in our schools? Do you think there was a real hesitation or I don't know, some type of, I would say, hesitation of how to deal with it. Like, what do we do now? We know it's important to address it with students, but who's going to do it and how are they going to do it?
Well, the first point first, pushback. I think there wasn't any pushback whatsoever. In fact, I think most people felt that it's time, you know.
Just a question of how.
Question of how. So that's where I think in terms of Torah Masorah, we had Rabbi Yosef Elias, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who together with the guidance and the mentoring of some of the Gedolei Yisrael, the Vand Rosh Yeshivas of Torah Masorah, he instituted this department, Zechari Mos Olam.
Wow.
And the how was based on teacher training. And he put together a program, of which, Baruch Hashem, I'm happy to say that I was one of the
Similar now to what it was then, the teacher training?
Very program? Similar. Very similar. Very similar. I mean, the history part is right. The history. That can't right. be redone.
Just you wonder today if people deal differently in the classrooms. I'm just curious if that curriculum or method has changed much over the years.
Only insofar as that there's more knowledge, there's more training. And right. again, I think larger that's
more resource development.
More resources, more books. I mean, at one point there were no books right. written. And that's one of the reasons I think the Gedolei Yisrael felt that it's important to let's get into the act of writing books. A lot of books that were, I can't say inappropriate because I don't want to be judgmental. Right. A lot of people that wrote them were Holocaust survivors, and you know what they say, there's no way of judging them.
Correct. But books that you might not necessarily bring into schools.
Absolutely. So it was really a void. Right. And even as a kid growing up, I had nothing to read other than those kinds of books. And the time came where people felt, you know, let's write the right way. Let's, you know, the material that can be taught, that should be taught, with the right hashkofa. History, as I said, is history. The Hashkofa, right. Let's put it together. You know, let's convey that. And for me, that's the main focus of what I do and what we do in Zechari Mos Olam is history, of course, notwithstanding. We have to do that. You don't understand the Hashkofa unless it's against the background of understanding the history. But the main focus is let's get the Hashkofa. Let's get the teachings. Let kids really understand what we can take out from the Holocaust.
So how does this training take place? Is there an annual curriculum or a one-time curriculum? Or are teachers coming to your center to do this? How does it work?
So there's various things. I guess the most sprawling program is temporarily on ice. We hope to get it back off the ground very shortly. And it was a fellowship training program, which was started years ago by a colleague of mine, Rabbi David Bernstein, who's the head of the HDOS program at Torah Masorah. And then there was Rabbi Shalom Friedman, who went to work for the Amud Esh Museum. And for the last 7 or 8 years, I've taken over that program. I, in fact, mentored Rabbi Shalom when he was there, being a lecturer, even back in the days of Rabbi David Bernstein. But the fellowship training program is to take a couple of dozen people who are Holocaust teachers, training them with it's a pretty intensive course of study. 6 or 7 months, about 100 hours of work, that's reading, submitting written assignments, telephone interviews and conferences and things like that, and the cherry on the top of that. And it was really a cherry because it was a halfway reward and halfway really making the program all come together. And that was a trip to Poland at the end.
Wow. Yeah. They could tell their students directly about what they saw and experienced in Poland. Wow.
They become transformed. You know, there's a famous expression, a life-changing experience. Well, it really was.
It really is. Yeah, we hear about that all the time.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a comprehensive program. When you talk about months, that's comprehensive.
It was very comprehensive. But there were other kinds of training that we do as well. Two or three day seminars we did in various places, from England to Los Angeles.
And the goal is to get it into which grades? As young as who? And I assume as old as what? Seniors in high school, right?
Right, as young as 7th grade. That's usually
the 7 to 12, program. Basically.
That's... Although a lot of schools do have, those schools that have a Yom HaShoah program.
Right,
they'll do something even for 5th grade. Right. Even if it's a Sar B'Teves, the documentary films that we produce is typically shown even in the 5th grade. But the learning program is usually starting from 7th grade up until seniors in high school.
So when appropriate publications...
And beyond, I should say beyond. There's seminaries. There are seminaries that are teaching. I've lectured for Rebbetzin Bulka and for Rebbetzin Nassaf and... Right.
And beyond that, I mean, not necessarily under Torah Masorah, but we know of so many post-high school students, men and women, who are going to Poland and doing these trips with their yeshivas and seminaries in Israel, etc. All that, by the way, you know, the seeds were sown in their elementary and high schools, most likely. my question escaped me, right? Shmuel Yaakov Klein is with us, talking about Zechari Mos Olam and Holocaust education in our schools. The training that a teacher has to undertake and this experience of, bringing back information that they've gotten on these trips, et cetera, has led, in many cases, to people pursuing books and other publications that are not necessarily under Torah Masorah. I would assume if they are appropriate, you incorporate those as well. Into my point being that you are encouraging people who are, you know, from the Frum Oilem, so to speak, to continue to release as many of these types of publications as possible. It can only enhance the whole experience.
Truth is, for the most part, these publications are not Torah Masorah products.
Right.
A couple of history things were produced by us, but it's Art Scroll and Feldheim. CIS, back in the day, was publishing the famous Holocaust memoirs, the Holocaust Diaries series.
Well, I'm thinking our friends at Project Witness, that would also qualify, no?
Absolutely.
Those types of things.
This history is a classic.
Done in an appropriate manner, et cetera.
100%. You know,
right.
100%.
Any information people need about the, I guess, what do we call it, Holocaust Mentoring Program? Would that be a good way of putting it? You would contact Torah Masorah at 212-227-1000, extension 4557. Again, it's Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Klein, 212-227-1000, extension 4557. He also has an email address, sklein@torahmasorah.org. That's sklein@torahmasorah.org. Now, I know I asked you this before, but just to reiterate in terms of Zechori Mos Olam, we know that the method and the material has not changed much since all this began. And you would put what figure on Zechori Mos Olam? How many years would you say that program has existed?
It can't be exact, but it's 15, 16, you know.
Is there anything about the program itself that's any different aside from?
Well, again, the fellowship training,
right?
It evolved. It's more comprehensive now in its last phases than it was originally.
Right.
And again, there are more resources. There's a book of history that we put out. Actually, I put it out under Torah Masorah's banner, and it's gone out. It's being used by dozens of schools. It's a pretty concise history for grades 7 through 10 or even 11. Witness to History, by the way, from Project Witness, is much more appropriate for the seniors of high school because it's a lot more comprehensive. It's encyclopedic, you know.
Have you ever been contacted by other school systems to advise regarding Holocaust studies?
Other school systems?
I mean, outside of the
Not sure that they're aware of us, to tell you the truth. I did meet with some political office in Manhattan a while ago just to get the word out there, but I've, you know, it's produced really nothing. But I'm constantly being connected to schools themselves. Call me, not school systems, but schools, I guess, within our system. I put out the word before Pesach that the month of May, we would designate as something of a reliving liberation kind of a thing, and people could, or schools can call and have me to come out. By the end of May, it will have been 9 schools. Baruch Hashem, had the great privilege of being traveling mostly in the Northeast. South Bend was going to happen for scheduling purposes. They had to put it off till after. But Baruch Hashem, I was delighted to see the response. Because it's reassuring me that the stuff is being taught, and that's what's very important. The students are learning about it. It's a very important concern. And the schools that have the wisdom and the wherewithal to advance this kind of a program are really deserving of our admiration. I think that's great.
We know that Torah Masorah over the decades has done everything in its power to make sure that certain Jewish subjects are covered in schools, rightfully so, obviously, and have arranged so many different things, whether they be workbooks or curricula, to get that done. Would you say that this is now on the same level? Would you say that Holocaust studies and the way that Zechori Mos Olam has evolved is essentially on the same level as those?
Yes and no. In other words, in respect of it being an existing curriculum, yes, it's like other subjects. Alternatively, I'm always fond of saying that it's not a subject. I can quote Rabbi David Schustel, one of the reshivas of Lakewood, who said teaching the Holocaust is not a subject. He used these words. It's a choiv kodesh. It's a sacred obligation. The messages that we have to impart are beyond the parameters of regular schooling and regular subjects with grades and tests and report cards. It's not that. I discourage schools from teaching it as a subject and grading on it. Sometimes I guess it's needed for an incentive. If you assign projects, kids will have that, you know, need for the incentive to do good work. But really, it's not, shouldn't appear, you know, Chumash and Novi and Dikduk and Holocaust studies. It ain't going there. I certainly hope.
It should be more of an elective environment, even if it's not an elective environment.
It should be part of the school environment, right. Part of the development of a Jewish kid.
I mentioned to you before we went on the air that these segments, which conclude, by the way, with selections with songs by Shia Rubinstein, specifically designated for the Holocaust survivor generation, that this is not only to focus on your and other organizations and to give people information, but also to speak about the United Task Force and its role in the community. What is it like being part of 40 to 50 other organizations who try to do so many different things for people in our community?
It's fantastic. Truth be told, I'm relatively new to the task force. I was invited by Rabbi Morty Besser to come to that last meeting. You were there. Right. And my eyes opened widely, and I said, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot happening in terms of the unity thing that you're strongly supporting, which is great. In terms of all the services that can be provided by this thing. Tamar Sarya really, you know, just to give a feather in the organizational cap, so to speak, 75 years under our collective belt. You know, 75 years old is the organization.
Pretty amazing.
And we have, I think, absolutely transformed Chinuch across North America. We're even extending our tentacles across the pond, and the people in Europe are starting to get involved with this as well. We opened the teacher center in Manchester, and there's five or six teacher centers in North America, just teacher centers, in terms of the programming. You know, the famous line of Shraga Feivel, who founded the Tamar Sarya, said somebody was upset with him. Do you think really you can succeed with this kind of an agenda? So he shouted and says, what does it bother you? There'll be 50,000 extra kids will be able to say Shema Yisrael. I'm fond of saying he didn't realize it would be 300,000 or 400,000, not 50,000 today. You know, Baruch Hashem, 7.5 decades. It is unbelievable.
What's going on in our community is incredible. Finally, we are admittedly, especially here in this area of the United States, in the lap of luxury, comfort, safety, and security. Even with the unfortunate anti-Semitic attacks, we know that they are still considered few and far between, even though the atmosphere is getting a little bit more heated, as we know. Is it tough to convey what Jews went through just a few short decades ago in Europe when you are speaking to students who, again, are enjoying the life I just described?
Yes, but unfortunately, it's getting easier to do that for the very reasons you just outlined. And that's it's both fortunate in terms of the teaching agenda, but unfortunate in terms of what's happening. That's always an issue, is waking kids up. This is one of the major takeaways that kids have to have from Holocaust study, to realize that what happened there is not outlandish. I mean, Germany was the spitz. It was the pinnacle of sophistication and culture and Jewish emancipation, for whatever that is worth. And within that environment, what happened was the road was paved to Auschwitz. Amidst that sophistication, an interesting fact, January 20th, 1942, the Wannsee Conference, which decided on the final solution, right, the use of Zyklon B, et cetera, 15 people decided in under an hour the fate that would affect over a couple of million Jews. 8 out of the 15 were doctors, you know, which is, you know, so telling about how much stock we can place on the most sophisticated non-Torah culture. And that's an important point, by the way, for kids.
That is an interesting thing. I never had heard that. That tells us a lot. Tells us a lot about those who take the Hippocratic Oath and are there to supposedly save lives and be there on the front lines of saving lives. Look what they did. Look what they decided. Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Klein, Director of Publications and Communications, Tara Masura, and Zacharia Mos Olam under the Tara Masura leadership. Information about everything we've discussed today, you can contact him at 212-227-1000, extension 4557. There's an email address, sklein@taramasura.org, sklein@taramasura.org. And certainly if you're a teacher or if you lead a school that you think needs to enhance either the abilities of their own teachers in these areas of Holocaust studies, or you want to bring extra programs or different programs to your school, you should certainly be in touch, and they'll be able to get that done. Our program ends each time as we explore our Community with United Task Force with selections that are designated specifically for the Holocaust survivor generation. Rabbi Klein, I thank you for joining me here today, and continued success with your great work.
And I thank you very much for the opportunity, getting the word out, very important, and continued hatzlacha for you as well.
Appreciate that very much. More coming up. Keep it right here at the Nachum Segal Network.
Des hoch aber der Vog in dem Schnadre mit den Nahen.
In dem Schnadre mit den Nahen.
Der Träge mit der Fack, der Läufe mit der Sack. In der Gärte mit den Seien. Blitzling wird mein Heden a Geschrei, als die Zeit ist schon gekommen. Als mir Wellen schon werden frei, von Gull ist er ausgenommen.
Halt da, jiddele, da, jiddele, jiddele, Matzakai, wo ist sie?
sitzen in der Gast, Geschenke bei der Fass, in der Schmied bei dem Hammer.
In der Schmied bei dem Hammer.
Der Mille mit dem Molin, der Barbe mit dem Gullin, in der Keulenzeuche, in der Kämmer.
In der Keulenzeuche, in der Kämmer.
Plötzlich wird mein Hirn in der Gewalt, alle Jujan, nur wie es mir was absiede, als Mischiach, im Schoen bald, im Fiedensten alten Diede. Auch kein Jiederlich, da jeder Briederlich macht sich breit, größ ihn klein, bald, bald in Gier, kippt Mischiach, kein Jiederische Lai, ihr will in mir gein. Immer Lamed mit dem Tatsch, die Malakone mit dem Batsch,
in der Bleche offen.
In de bleche off in da. De schleife bei der Rad, in de Bede, in de Bad.
In a so jede nebech was a schwere Fach.
In a so jede nebech was a schwere Fach. Litzling wird mein Hirn a klang, als dit sagt is schoin gekimmen. Et spekt schoin singen a neue Gesang, in Fingolis a rausgenimmen.
Alka jede lech, a jede bide lech.
Der Poem und Vaie, der Meiem und Versteie, in der Solicite bringt da Klage.
In der Solicite bringt da Klage.
Der Käschen ist ledig, im Mittes nebach schwer, in des fragt sich a soja Frage.
In des fragt sich a soja Frage.
Plötzling wird mein Hirn in der Kopf, in dem Schäufe der Größe horren, die der Schein putte, in dem Mal, die bescheuen geholfen geworden. Auch kein Jiederlich, da ihre Briederlich, macht sich krank. Grüß ihn klein, auf allem bald in Gier, kippt Mischiach, in jeder Schleie, will er mir gar. Ah, Mischiach ist schön du, in einem maseldicken Schuh.
Ta-da-da.
Sach Yidin Deymar Was hat sich getein da In Eretz Yisroel In Yerushalayim Mot Makriv Gewein Zevuchim Shalomim Oilois and Zuchim Bizman Shabbais HaMikdash HaYukayim Siz heilige Weile Raweya Auf ein heilige Misbeya Auf dem Ort alle meine Karbonis Lech aber Ava Wawai Nois Hurut soin wie Wawai Nois Wie groß ist der Bechantus Rachmogonois Oy loy se verokim Vayne mir auf dem Mokim As the salt is a weg in him in give a warin In me his ech de manin As this man is farhanin De heilige Mokim is a weg in him Es weinen in es klogen, es schreien in es zogen. Alle tog die Bnei Malochem. Jeden tog in de Frey, fragen mir reise hin. Mikau im Monschel zevochem. In dem Frieden, ein nennt man sich dem Mied, man nennt sich Tavenen mit Kavonis. Die Mannen sich jeden, als Zwille ist, wenn man kommt, zu mieden, as the stubborn in his and stood carbonate. Who will meet in shots is not Reiner's hats, and stood carbonate is though I said for you there. As mit zeitzig wie me hau mach mein bald da gewoll den nei weis hoke wat geyle mi fregen or dus einem wort wie seit mein scheint stick dei mar makrevs ant mit dem in is so hoke lang noch der Wei wird mein Fregen eise hier mit Koim und Schell sie durch ihm. Tzadikim sollen leben, soll Hashem jes Buruch ins Geben. Mir sollen geholfen werden mit a Yeshia Atzin. Oft dem Beite mir reich, soll es heute werden der Koye. Mir kadert es an der Gehlische Lau, ay mir geschwind. Plitzling mit der Zeit wird mein Sahn auf der Platz der Weiß am Mikdisch das Weiß für alle Jähn dann wird Sahn wie Kilom Oidim wie Achat Kilom Oidim Lepisch Aschfenet Hai Beinei Nische Dehe. In Taikifu Oysayoyim Vetech Sand V'nech Al-Shom Min Azvuchim Min Apsuchim Mevet Shoyin V'sin V'hi Ha'izei Mikoyim On Shel Zivuchim.